Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer. In honor of National Poetry Month, Brian has been speaking with different poets throughout the month of April. This week, Katha Paulett, whose first collection of poems, Antarctic Traveler, won the National Book Critics Circle Award, and whose most recent collection, The Mind-Body Problem, garnered this impressive comment from the immediate past U.S. Poet Laureate Kay Ryan. Quote, "It's awfully good to have such a great-hearted poet as Katha Paulett take on mortality's darkest themes. Again and again, she finds a human-sized crack of light and squeezes us through with her." Wow, that's no faint praise there. More rave than comment. Katha Paulett, it's awfully good to have you here with us this Poetry Month. What a privilege.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, it does make me wonder if such plaudits matter to you. It's something I've often wondered about poets in general, so I'll start by asking it of you. Do you care what the critics think, even those as significant as Kay Ryan, our most recent poet laureate through 2010? Do you read reviews? Do you avoid them? Do you take pleasure in them? What say you?
I admire Kay Ryan hugely. So, of course, to have a great poet like herself, like my poetry, feels wonderful. How could that not be? You know, a lot of writers say they don't read their reviews, and I sometimes wonder if they're telling the truth, especially now that they're all on the internet. It's not that you can just refuse to read them when they come out. You have to refuse for the rest of your life to read them.
You can't just stuff it away in a folder.
Exactly, exactly. But there are some reviews where I have a feeling like, oh, this isn't going to be good, that I don't read, because I just don't want to have that in my head.
Now, let's talk a bit about what motivates your poetry. And then, of course, we'll have you read a bit. Because to many of our listeners, you'll be known for your poetry, but of course also for your essays and columns in The Nation and your writings in The New York Times and The New Yorker. And, well, there are many other publications, too many to name here, on feminism and identity politics. But for those who have never seen a Katha Paulett poem, give them a little peek, a little window into who you are as a poet, your poetry and your poetic self. What inspires that? Is it the same or is it entirely different from the other writer, Katha Paulett?
Well, I think the interior of my mind is mostly big mess. It's like some sort of bird's nest full of old twigs and pieces of yarn and old little comic books that come out of bubble gums and things like that. So you never really know what is going to say to you, hey, you know, this is a poem, or, oh, just write a column, be done with it. To me, if I can say something in prose and it's all said, fine. And poetry is really more about language. Poetry is more about just images, language, feeling, also intellectual content, but that's not all it is.
So are you going along in your life and tucking away poems over the course of years, and then eventually you have a collection, or do you sit down and now I'm going to do a poetry collection?
No, unfortunately, it's more the former. Mm-hmm. I probably would write more if I had the latter attitude. A lot of poets spend a great deal of time wondering about what makes a book and what order should the poems be in. And I tend not to do that. I don't usually read books of poetry starting on page one and going on to the end like it was a novel. I'll sort of pick it up and this one looks interesting and then I'll read another. So to me, the order of the poems doesn't make any difference at all. But there are people out there who think that's very important. Hmm.
Now, with that in mind, we want to have you read from one of your poems. And as you choose, let me invite a listener or two to call in, especially any who are poets, to tell us what motivates their work as poets. Is it politics? Is it the natural world? a painful experience, perhaps, 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. We want to hear from our poets on this. Katha Pollitt is my guest. I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer, and she is here in celebration of Poetry Month, and now she will read. And, Katha, what will you read?
Well, how about this poem, Trying to Write a Poem Against the War? Most of my poems do not have an overt political content, but this one does. Before the war in Iraq started, a lot of poems, poets wrote anti-war poetry, and there was a website, and then there was a collection all done by Sam Hamill and published by Nation Books, I'm happy to say. So this was my contribution to that, unfortunately, completely ineffective effort. So here it is. It's called Trying to Write a Poem Against the War. My daughter, who's as beautiful as the day, hates politics. Face it, Ma, they don't care what you think. All passion, like Achilles, she stalks off to her room to confide in her purple guitar and await life's embassies. She's right, of course. Bombs will be hurled at ordinary streets, and leaders look grave for the cameras. And what good are more poems against war, the real subject of which so often seems to be the poet's superior moral sensitivities? I could be mailing myself to the moon or marrying a palm tree, and yet what can we do but offer what we have? And so I spend this cold, gray, milky morning trying to write a poem against war that perhaps may please my daughter, who hates politics and does not care much for poetry either.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Wonderful. And we did, Katha, talk earlier on the show about politics. We had Dahlia Lithwick on.
Oh, wow. I'm such a fan of hers.
Yes, you were probably traveling here, but she was here to talk about Roe v. Wade and the death by a thousand cuts, some would say, of that decision. She has a big article in Slate on that. And we talked also about the D.C. abortion funding ban. And I wonder how, as and I know you've written for The Nation recently on that very point, how does your writing of commentary and essay, how does it affect or infect your poetry? I mean, this was very political, this particular poem, but having read your collections, they're not also. But there's an intersection, I think, of the essayist and the poet, is there not?
Well, you know, I think about this question a lot, because if you think of politics in a narrow sense, you know, what's in the headlines, what's happening today, who's running for president, you know, what are the laws going to be?
Or the wars.
Then, you know, it's a poetry that focused only on that would be very narrow, and it would also be very forgettable. It wouldn't be too interesting to people, you know, even a year later. But I think that for me, you can see politics more broadly. For example, I was thinking every time someone writes a poem, they're making a political statement, not in the sense of like, oh, I'm a bourgeois person, I know how to read and write, or you know, I like books. But I feel that I, an individual, have something to say that hasn't been said before. That's a very, very profound statement. It's certainly not a statement people would have made at any other, you know, at many other points in history. We're only very, very special people.
Mm. And certainly
usually,
women.
Right. So usually men, highly educated
yes.
people, aristocrats,
yes.
Got to weigh in and give their little take on human life. So, I think that there's that sense, if no other, in which a poem is political.
Well, let's take a call from a woman who joins us from Manhattan. Melinda, you're on with Katha Pollitt.
Hi. I was thinking about the thing that makes me write. I think it's all political, because I think the way this system is we all feel like we don't matter, and our feelings don't matter, our experiences don't matter. And it does matter, and it does matter even if a million people have had the same feelings and experiences. You know, it still matters. It's still important to put it out there. If you have an experience where somebody says something racist and you feel bad because you didn't, you know, respond in a way that you feel was right for the situation, then that calls for a poem, because other people will understand what that's about, you know, when you let yourself down, or, you know, that this kind of situation still exists and we need to respond
yes.
all the time.
And I have here also a comment in Facebook from someone who wrote that Shakespeare wrote and staged his plays to finance his real interest, which was writing sonnets. So I think for some poets, there's just a compulsion to write. But I agree with Melinda. I mean, I write some poetry. I certainly don't publish it. But it's often political, because that's where the voice is.
Well, I think it's interesting what you say that... you know, it's not the feelings and the experiences are things that we share as human beings. But with a poem, what's really great is if you can do something a little bit different with language, if you can say it in a slightly different, fresh way, so that it isn't just, you know, roses are red, violets are blue. You know, maybe roses are green.
Sticks with you.
Violets are yesterday. You know, I think that. Many, many people write poetry, and they put them in the drawer. They put their poems in the drawer. My father wrote poetry, and my grandmother wrote poetry. Mm. And it was just for them to fix a moment, so that they would just feel that they had made something, a thought they had, a response to nature, that they had made that into something that was permanent for them, if for no one else.
Something that was permanent for them. Well, we've been joined today for Poetry Month by the wonderfully brilliant Katha Pollitt. She's not just a poet, but an essayist. Her current poetry collection is The Mind-Body Problem, and you can read her essays at The Nation. Katha Pollitt, thank you. I'm Jamie Floyd. I'll be back tomorrow.
Thanks so much for having me. It was great.